9:05, welcome back to the Chad Hastie Show on News Talk 790 KFYO and online at KFYO.com. Don't forget, you can download the Radio Pup app, listen to the show wherever you travel. Absolutely free to download, just search for KFYO, and you can tune in to all of KFYO programming. Over the past few weeks, this organization has made quite a bit of news, West Texas Smoke-Free Coalition, and joining me in studio, the chairman, I believe, of that organization, Matthew Harris, in studio with me to talk about his organization, the West Texas Smoke-Free Coalition. Matthew, welcome to the show.
Hey, Chad. I really appreciate you having me on today.
Absolutely. Tell folks a little bit about, the history about how this group came together.
Well, it all got started last, June, July time frame. A few of us got together, a few local citizens, and we decided that it was time to bring this issue up, to bring it to the attention of the city council. And so we started working together, started raising some awareness. We really started focusing on public education, on educating the public on the dangers of secondhand smoke. Because our primary focus here is to protect the employees of some of these smoking establishments from the secondhand smoke, because they're working in these conditions for 8+ hours, breathing in this smoke, and it's quite unhealthy for them.
And how many people are part of the coalition?
Right now we have, I think, approximately last count, 70-ish. That are formal members that come to the monthly meetings. However, we've had an additional nearly 500 others that have signed petition cards. One of these petition cards, it says, "I support my community going smoke-free," and urging the city council to adopt a comprehensive smoke-free ordinance.
And the coalition, who is it made up of? Are these just regular citizens or business owners, everybody? What's the makeup of the coalition?
Well, one of the very, very first things that we did is we sat down and we said we need to bring in members of the community. And so we sat down and we discussed, okay, who are these different sectors? And so we identified religious groups, educators, all these different areas. And so we now are comprised of doctors, educators, attorneys, med students, law students, all around the community. It really is just a big pot of everyone mixed together.
How many bar and restaurant owners do y'all have?
Bar and restaurant owners, we have at least one that I know of.
Okay. What's been the response that besides the one bar owner if you're thinking of the same person, owner of Bar PM and the
right.
local, besides where he stands, what have you heard from some of the other bar owners in town, some of the other owners of restaurants?
Well, what we have heard so far is, we can address him directly first, because what happened in his situation kind of reflects on the rest of it. Whenever he came out in support of this and said, "I support changing the ordinance as it is right now," because right now, just for clarity, there's already a smoke-free ordinance in effect.
Right.
That was passed back in 2001, went into effect in 2004. And so that ordinance already makes it, it's already prohibited to smoke in public places. But that ordinance set out a few loopholes for bars, cocktail lounges, those sort of things. And so those exceptions, sports grills there. So those exceptions are set out right now. And so he voiced his opinion on strengthening the ordinance and closing those loopholes. And he got a little bit of a lashback for it. And so after that, many of the other bar owners and restaurant owners that we've spoken to have said, I'm absolutely in favor of what you're doing. I really want this ordinance to pass, but I'm hesitant to come out publicly in favor of it. So it's difficult for me to give you a solid number, because I only want to disclose the person that I know that I have authority to say.
The person who's been outspoken about it. Yeah,
right,
I mean,
exactly.
Of course. Well, what is the ordinance? Because what is it next month that the West Texas Smoke-Free Coalition is looking at presenting to the city council? I know you've spoken to some city council members, and we'll get to that here in a second. But is it next month that you are looking at proposing an ordinance?
Well, right now, and just my understanding is that it's not an ordinance that we're proposing to the city council. What we're doing is we're asking the city council to direct the city attorney to draft the ordinance, because we don't have an ordinance right now in hand that says, okay, here line number two says this. We don't have that. What we're urging is the city council to direct the city attorney to do that.
And what type of ordinance would you like to see put into place?
Well, we would like to see a comprehensive ordinance that's going to protect the employees, that closes some of these loopholes and some of these exceptions that are set out, so that way that the employees that are working in the conditions are protected.
But what bars, restaurant, is it every bar, is it every restaurant, is it every building that's out there? You know, are there exceptions? Are there no exceptions? You know, there are some places that, you know, I can think of that, you know, would probably say, hey, we're either a private business. We don't want to be a part of this. Bingo halls, may not want to be a part of it. They have a lot of smokers who go to bingo halls, during the week. So what type of businesses are you aiming at here? Is it everybody?
Well, primarily, I think the easiest way to distinguish is if they have employees, then they should fall under the ordinance, because that's our primary focus, is to protect these employees. And that's one of the reasons I was excited to come on the show today, is to explain some of the discrepancies that's been reported. Because a few months ago, it was last month, Fox 34 made a report that said that our goal was to ban smoking in public, period. And that is just absolutely not the fact. I mean, that is not what we're doing. Because what we're talking about is smoking in enclosed public places. Because outdoors or patio areas, any of these places, that's not affecting these employees. And so I think that might be a little bit of overreach to try to push to prohibit smoking in those areas. And so that makes it easy for us to distinguish what the ordinance should enclose, what should be part of the ordinance and what shouldn't. Is if there are employees that are working indoors, then that should fall under the ordinance.
Let me ask you about some of the businesses, and I've heard from some that are pretty concerned about this. You know, we've got a couple of cigar shops that are in town. Their employees are obviously cigar smokers if they're working there. They have events where they bring in big money, where people can come in, they can smoke inside the stores. Are they excluded from this? Are they included in this? They have employees.
Well, as I said, we don't have an ordinance right now to say this is what it says, because there are a lot of ordinances that are floating around out there. There are at least 35 cities at last count in Texas that have gone that have adopted smoke-free comprehensive smoke-free ordinances. And what I don't want us to do is just to simply take what someone else has done, copy and paste, slap it on Lubbock, and call it good.
Okay,
because West Texas does things differently. So,
as far as this goes, what would you like to see? You know, you're chairman of West Texas Smoke Free Coalition. If you could meet with city council members, they could meet one on one with you and say, "What do you want it to look like?" Would those type of places be excluded, or would you include those?
If they have employees that are working there, then they should be included.
Okay, so that would include the cigar shops then.
I don't know of any cigar shops in Lubbock. I mean, you probably know better about them than I do. So
yeah, well, we have some, and they bring in a lot of money, and they bring in a lot of people, and they allow cigar smoking inside. So those places, they have employees, it would be banned there, correct?
Right.
Okay. You've met with members of the city council, or at least the West Texas Smoke Free Coalition has, correct?
Right.
What have you heard from those members of the city council?
We've heard a lot of support. This is something that they really want to see more public education on, and so that's led to us running ads. We have radio ads that are running right now. We have a public service announcement that's running at the IMAX Theater. We have electronic ads, and I think we also have some print ones that are running in the AJ. And so we've really stepped up to educate the public on more of the dangers of secondhand smoke, because we want to make sure that everyone is well educated on how deadly secondhand smoke is.
The members of the city council that you've met with, do you have a number that have said, yeah, we're good, let's expand this, let's expand the current ordinance, let's do it? Do you have four members of the city council that are ready to go with you on this?
Well, I'm hesitant to say that anyone would has given us the green light to say, yes, I will vote for this whenever there hasn't been an ordinance presented. Obviously, everyone wants to see what the ordinance says first. And I mean, even myself, I wouldn't ask them to vote for something that they hadn't seen yet. And so right now there's not a solid number of these people are voting for us and these people are against us. They want to see what the ordinance says first, which is why we're urging them to direct the city attorney to draft the ordinance.
Let me ask, can you hold on for one more segment? Can you go to 9:30? Or do you have to get out of here by like 9:23?
I can hold on.
Okay, good. We got a few more questions to get to.
No, certainly.
And want to allow full time. So let's go ahead. Let's take the break. When we come back, we'll continue our visit with Matthew Harris, West Texas Smoke-Free Coalition. We'll get you out of here by 9:30. I promise you that, okay?
All right,
we'll
thanks.
Be right back. Matthew Harris of the West Texas Smoke-Free Coalition in studio with me here on the Chad Hastie Show, News Talk 790 KFYO. Matthew, appreciate you coming on the program. As far as the city council goes and as far as timeline for this ordinance, what is the timeline for your organization? When would you like to see something presented to the city council?
Well, we'd like to see something presented as soon as possible. I believe tonight is a city council meeting. We haven't gotten on this agenda to get on it. You discussed earlier possibly doing something in July. We'd like to move on this, and we'd like to see something done as soon as possible.
Okay. Regarding the employees, because you talk about how you want to protect the employees out there.
Right.
Didn't the employees choose to work at these businesses?
Well, that brings up a good point, because people shouldn't have to choose between their health and a paycheck. Sometimes, especially in industries, you get a job wherever you can, especially in the economic climate that we have right now. And so they are choosing to work in this industry, but they shouldn't have to trade their health just to put food on the table.
But they really don't. I mean, they really don't have to. We have a relatively low unemployment rate here in Lubbock, top 20 within the United States. We have new restaurants that are opening up all the time. Most of those, think you would agree, smoke-free, that are opening up. I don't know if you've ever worked in the food service industry. When I was in high school, I did. So I think just about everyone in high school did, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know it's easy to move on. You know it. I mean, it's easy to move from one restaurant to the other. If you have experience, they're going to hire you at a brand-new restaurant that's opening up or even at another restaurant that's in town. So are people really trading their health because they don't want to work at a place? I mean, is there anybody that you've talked to, and you know, a group of employees that you've talked to that say, you know what, they're just keeping me here. I cannot find another job.
Well, you bring up another excellent point, because you're talking about moving from one restaurant to another restaurant. So for these employees that are working in a bar, tending bar, if they were to move on to another bar, it's still going to be another smoke-filled environment. And so it's still going to be another deadly environment for them to work in, because that's the industry that they've trained in. We have members of our coalition who are employees of these bars. And one of them in particular, he was diagnosed with chronic cough based purely on his working as a bartender.
Well, and that's at Bar PM.
Right.
He made the news last week. But at the same time, not every bar allows smoke. I mean, there are many bars, even in Lubbock, Texas, that don't allow smoking. You know, Nick's, which is opening up another location, they don't allow smoking. Cap Rock Cafe, their bartender's pretty successful. You know, they're making pretty good money over there. They don't allow smoking. I believe, is it Blue Light that just
right.
went smoke-free? They don't allow smoking. So there are a lot of places that have decided on their own not to allow smoking. The bartenders who are working at these places, number one, I mean, they made a choice to work there. They knew the industry they were getting into. And there are a lot of places that don't allow smoking, a lot of restaurants that have bars that don't allow smoking. So, again, how are they forced to work in these places?
Well, I don't know that that's That's the agreement that they knew what they were getting into. They knew that they were going to trade their health for this industry because this is their health that they're talking about. And they may not fully understand the impact, which is why we have made such a strong public education push, because they may not understand the impact of working in these environments now and how that's going to affect their long-term health in the future, because the studies have shown that there's no safe level of secondhand smoke. Even just short periods of being around secondhand smoke is dangerous.
Let me ask you about private property rights. This is something you've probably heard from business owners out there. This is their individual business. Your organization is going to the city of Lubbock to pass a large government piece of ordinance, really, to expand government on these private property owners. What would you say to that?
Well, I can say that I absolutely identify with that, because that's whenever I came into the coalition, that was something that I wanted to, and I made my beliefs known from the get-go, because I've been accused of being a liberal, a Democrat, and fascist, and I'm about as conservative as it gets. I vote Republican, but I have very, very strong libertarian views.
And it's hard to say you're libertarian when you're trying to grow government.
Well, and that shows how important this issue is, because what I have made sure that we're not expanding into is taking care of people, because that's not our job to tell people that here we want to make sure that you take care of yourself. Our job is to protect these employees, because where one person's right to smoke ends is where someone else's right to life begins. And I think that Ronald Reagan says it best, that the government's first duty is to protect the people, not run their lives. So that's our goal here, is to protect these people and not run their lives.
Should the government ban fast food places then?
Well, has anyone ever died of secondhand obesity?
People die all the time of heart disease.
Well, but
and it contributes to that.
Exactly. And that's a choice that they make, and that affects only their body.
But it's a choice that those employees made to work at those bars and restaurants.
I would disagree with that, because the eating fast food affects only your body. It doesn't affect those that are sitting around you.
Is there someone and I'm not meaning to joke around here, but you're saying that it's not a choice to work somewhere. It absolutely is. I mean, no one is forced in this country to work at a specific place. If you don't like it, you could always move on. You bring up education, and I've got no problem with that. You know, going around and telling people, hey, look, we think this is bad for you. We think this is bad for you. You need to move on. Have there been employees who have stood up and said, we really want to, but our owner won't allow us to, or we can't find another, you know, waitressing job that's in Lubbock, or another bartending job that's in Lubbock? I mean, to me, no offense, that's hard to believe.
Well, for a lot of people, it's not necessary, because you're drawing a line between people who are forced to stay at this certain job, and that certainly wasn't my argument. It was that they are in these industries because that's all that they can qualify for, either because of economic factors or their own lack of education. They are working in these industries because, and as we're talking about before the segment, I do a lot of work in family law. I'm a family law attorney. And so I deal with a lot of mothers and a lot of family members who are working in these industries and just trying to put food on their table, trying to take care of their kids. They get a job wherever they can and wherever they're qualified. And if all they're qualified to do, the only work they're qualified to do is in this industry, then that's where they're stuck getting work.
Are you worried that you're going to hurt business here? Because we talk about, let me go back to the cigar lounges that are out there that have employees. Trust me, all their employees smoke cigars, or they like smoking cigars. That's why they work there. I mean, right. They're working inside a cigar store. They bring in tons of events where people are smoking. They make thousands and thousands of dollars off of this in one day. And you want to ban them from doing that.
Well, and that brings up another excellent point, because back in 2004 or 2001, whenever this the current ordinance was passed, everyone came out and said, this is going to kill business. I'm going to go out of business. I'm going to lose my restaurant. But if people can't smoke in my restaurant, I'm not going to make any money. However, in 2006, and I'll leave this with you here, a study was conducted on the revenue from the comptroller's office in Texas, and shows that the business did not suffer. In fact, it benefited. And that's the same thing across the board. Just all over Texas, every time these ordinances get passed, then the business increases in revenue. So the argument that they're going to lose out on profits just doesn't hold water.
Do you have a website?
I do.
Tell people where they can get more information on the West Texas Smoke Free Coalition.
Oh, you can find us on Facebook, West Texas Smoke Free Coalition.
All right. Matthew Harris, appreciate your time.
All right, thank you, Chad.